You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. This week is the fourth and final week in our series, Begin Again, a study on the book of Deuteronomy. For more information and to visit us online, visit us at midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
My grandma, this year, she turns 101 years old, just at the end of the year. She's a pretty incredible woman, and this is what's amazing. Even at 101 years old, sometimes you forget because her mind is so incredibly sharp. I mean, sometimes she's remembering things. I'm like, oh my goodness, I forgot. Her mind is so sharp, but here's the deal. Physically speaking, she is starting to slow down in ways that are a little more noticeable than really has ever been the case before. She's currently in the process, I think, even this weekend of moving from her own, even at 101 years old, she's just now moving from her own independent apartment into an assisted living facility. And so in addition to all of the logistics that go along with a move like this and with a big transition like this, my dad's whole side of the family, because this is my dad's mom, my dad's whole side of the family is just starting to have all of the conversations about, you know, what happens with all of her stuff. Right? So we're having to ask each other, you know, have all these conversations about like, okay, we should probably start, you know, talking, you know, is it her will's in, you know, in order, right? We're having, you know, conversations about like inheritance and how things are all sitting and who gets her stuff and, you know, the family cabin and what kind of things she'll pass on, whether it's furniture of hers or some special possessions. We're going, hey, we're starting to have all these conversations going, what happens with all of it that she has. I'm pretty sure that Erica and I, my wife and I, I'm pretty sure we could have anything that we wanted from her apartment right now. My grandma, number one, would be happy to like give it to us. And my aunt, who's been kind of overseeing some of these things, she would be thrilled to not have to like figure out how to, you know, get it included in the move and make the transition to her new place. We'll even get texts on occasion. We just got one recently from my aunt that's like, hey, grandma wants to know if you want the, you know, the old couch from her apartment. You know, it's yours if you want it. We're like, ah, I don't know if I need the couch. Okay. It's a very fine couch. I just, never mind. Okay. The reality is, she doesn't, I mean, we're trying to figure out what we do with it and we're getting the text. You want this? The reality is she doesn't have a lot of stuff. I mean, she's 101 years old. So she, you know, she doesn't have a lot of money. She doesn't have a lot of stuff for that matter either. But nonetheless, whatever it is that she still does have, she has to figure out now who gets what. Who gets what? With all that she still has left to her name. Now, I don't want to sound, you know, morbid at all, but it starts to make me wonder about like the end of my own life. It starts to make me wonder about the inheritance that I'll pass on someday. I start to think about what it is that I'll have to leave someone someday when I pass from this world. I start asking myself, what's the best kind of inheritance? Because someday it's going to happen. So I start asking myself, what's the best kind of inheritance that I could pass on? It makes me start to wonder, like, what do I hope that I would leave to the people that I love or to the communities that I call home or to really anyone who knew me? What do I hope it is that I have to leave to them? Is it a pile of cash? Right, you know, is it a summer cabin? Is it a car? Is it a couch? I don't know. Eric and I got some. We'd be very happy to, you know, find a new home for. Right? What is it? What's the best thing that I can pass on? Is it one of those things, or is it possibly something else? Now, here's the deal. You may not be having those kind of like end of life conversations for anyone. I hope you're not. In fact, you might not be, or maybe you are. I mean, it's not necessarily, you may or may not be, at that point in your own life. But here's what I would argue, that is not the time to begin having these conversations in your head. Now is the time actually to be thinking about what it is you are going to pass on. Now is the time to be thinking about and to be preparing for what it is that you have to leave your family. If you wait to have those conversations till later, it will be way too late. If you wait to figure out what is it that I am going to leave to this world, it's going to be too late, especially considering what I think it is and what I want to suggest to you today is the best thing that you can leave for generations to come. And so if you'd like to know what it is that I would consider, if you want to know what is the greatest gift that I think you can leave to the world, if you want to know what it is, the best kind of inheritance that you could pass on to those that you love or to those that follow in your footsteps, then I'm glad you chose to be here with us today. What we're doing today is we're bringing this series, as Sam mentioned, we're bringing this series Begin Again to a close. And as we do, we are going to discover, I am going to try to help you to discover the only thing that God really is asking all of us to leave to those who come after us. There is an inheritance that he has asked us to pass on. It's just not what we typically think an inheritance is. And so I'd like to help you figure out what it is today as I wrap this series up for us. This series has been a four-week journey through the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, just my last time of review here. Deuteronomy is two Greek words put together. It comes from the Greek word deutero, which means second, and nomos, which means law. So you put it together, and the name of this book is a reference to the second time, that's deutero, that Moses taught God's law, nomos, to God's people. Deuteronomy. The first time that Moses did this was 40 years prior, when he came down the mountain with 10 commandments for God's people. And this ultimately was kind of, you know, one of the moments that set them on a journey toward the land that God has promised to his people. Along the way to the promised land, God's people are perpetually rebellious and disobedient, and they turn away from God's teaching and his instruction to them. And as a result of their own rebellion and their own disobedience, this journey through the wilderness ends up lasting for 40 years, meaning that the entire first generation are never going to make it into the promised land. So now fast forward to the time of the book of the Deuteronomy, which we have been studying, and the next generation, right? The first generation of you know, parents and grandparents, they didn't make it. It took too long. They had turned their back too many times. They didn't make it. And so now here in Deuteronomy, the next generation, they're on the doorstep of the promised land. And Moses delivers to them a big giant sermon or collection of sermons, which is the book of Deuteronomy. And the point of the big long message to them was to call them for a second time to faithfulness and to obedience to God's instruction as they begin once again, the final leg of this journey into the promised land. And here's what I believe today, that some of you here today are on the doorstep of something new that God is calling you to. That some of you here today are you know, you're just one step away from something that God is calling you to next. You might be ready to begin again some kind of new journey that God has in store for you. That might be, I don't know, it might be a new career, a new season in life, a new kid, a new goal, a new commitment, a new discipline, a new step of faith, or maybe it's something totally different for you. Whatever it is, I really do believe that God has a good and great plan in store for you. And I don't know how that lands for you. You might be thinking to yourself today, who, you know, me? A good plan for me? Right? You might be thinking to yourself, I'm not sure I'm quite God material. You might be thinking I don't know, sounds good, but I've fumbled the ball way too many times for God to begin anything new with me. Or maybe you're going, hey, I've already kind of tried to do this over again a time before and it didn't work out. Or maybe you're here today and you're eager and you're quite excited for whatever it is that God might have in store for you next. But you're going, man, I have no idea how to even begin to take that first step. No matter what it is that you're thinking to yourself right now about what God maybe has in store for you next, the good news for you and for me and for all of us is that the book of Deuteronomy, which we have been examining closely, this book in the Old Testament provides for us a bit of a blueprint for what it is that God has asked of us along this road that we are traveling and along this race that we are running. And it's not all that far out of reach for any single one of us here today. Because ultimately it comes down to a few things that I've been trying to highlight. Here's what we've said so far about what is required of us on this journey, on our journey toward what God has for us next. We have to look back. I said this week, number one, the first step forward is to make sure we look back. Right? If we don't take time to look back, if we don't understand God's way in our past, we may not understand God's way for us in the future, right? We have to understand that His hand was constantly at work for us then, and it will be as we move forward. Week two, we said we have to learn to love God. I suggested that potentially God had a love language. And what we discovered is that God's love language was undivided loyalty. Not picking and choosing when we, you know, chose to follow God or, you know, be devoted to Him, but it was undivided loyalty in all things at all times. Last week we discovered we have to live differently, right? It said we are a holy people, and holy didn't mean better, it just meant set apart. It meant that we were to have a distinct way of living so that we had a distinct witness in the world. That was the first 3 weeks. We look back. We love God. We have to learn to live differently. And today we'll discover the fourth one. As we do, before I get there, I want to let you know that we now find ourselves, as we bring this series to a close, we find ourselves at the very end of the book of Deuteronomy. Up until this point for these 3 weeks, we have been looking at like roughly 30 chapters according to how things are broken up for us in the Bibles that we have. And for 30 chapters, Moses has kind of been laying it all out there for his people. Essentially, he's been saying, hey, you want to live a long life? You want to enjoy God's blessings in the promised land? Great. Here's what you need to know. And here's what you need to do. It's been 30 chapters of him going, hey, this is the format. This is the blueprint for us to live long and enjoy life and enjoy the blessings that God has in store for us. Now he's here at the end of it all, and he's actually about to pass the baton of leadership to the guy coming after him. His name was Joshua. Moses is not going to be the one to make the final leg, and so he's about to pass the leadership baton to Joshua, who will be the one to actually lead God's people into the promised land. And so here at the end of it all, I think he's trying to kind of wrap it all up. He's trying to tie a nice little bow onto his time as the leader of God's people. And he has one last set of instructions that we read in chapter 31. Let me show you that here on the side screens. This is verse 9 that we'll start reading in today. It says, so Moses wrote this entire body of instruction in a book. He wrote it all down, everything that he's been saying, everything that God wanted him to deliver to the people. He wrote this entire body of instruction in a book, and he gave it to the priests who carried the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and he gave it to the elders and to the leaders of Israel. And it's almost like Moses is going like, hey, gang, I worked really hard on this stuff, and I don't want you to forget it. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of feel for the guy. You know, I'm going, I don't want people to forget the stuff that I stand up here on Sundays and talk about. In fact, here's what I've decided. Starting next week, I'm going to print out copies of my messages, and I'm going to hand them out to you when you leave every Sunday morning so that you will remember them for the rest of your lives. Who's interested? Only a couple of hands. I should not have asked that question. Okay, this was, maybe it's not important for you. That's all right. It was important for them. It was important for Moses. It was important for God's people. And so he wrote it all down. And he handed it off to them, to the priests and to the elders and the tribes of Israel. And here's what he wanted. This is verse 10. It says, then Moses gave them this command. At the end of every seventh year, the year of release, during the festival of shelters, God's people had all sorts of festivals that were designed to help them remember some of the amazing moments of God's, you know, work and intervention in their life. And so this was one of them. He says, hey, at the end of the seventh year, the year of release, during the festival of shelters, you must read this book of instruction to all of the people of Israel when they assemble before the Lord your God at the place he chooses. Call them together, men, women, children, even the foreigners living among you, the foreigners living in your towns, so they may hear the book of instruction and learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully obey all the terms of these instructions. Okay, so this is just, you know, this is just a way of highlighting the fact that Moses wants his instructions, these instructions from God, these commandments to be read over and over and over again for everyone to hear for all of time from now on. Why? It's not because Moses is like really vain and wants for his work to be immortalized, you know, in the history books of God's people. Okay? It's not because he wants people to be talking about him and how great his messages were long after he's gone. It's not because he, you know, didn't trust the priests and the elders to come up with, you know, anything good on their own. No, he had another goal in mind. When he said, hey, read this stuff. Every year, to everyone who comes together, men, women, children, you know, the foreigners that are living among you, he had another goal in mind. Here's what it says in verse 13. He says, do this. Read the stuff. Read it every year. Read it every time you come together. Do this so that your children who have not known these instructions will hear them. And we'll learn to fear the Lord your God. One quick note here. Fear, when we talk about having a fear of the Lord, fear of God, it's not, you know, like, it all, ultimately all that means is to be in awe of, right? To really honor and to revere. It does not mean to be scared of God. It means to have complete awe of who God is. So Moses says, do this so that your children who have not known these things will hear them and learn to fear the Lord your God. Do this, he says, as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. So what we see here, gang, is that Moses, in one of his final duties, right? In one of his last official duties as the man in charge of God's people, what do we see he's most concerned with, right? We have to understand, this is not like image, you know, maintenance. He's not doing this to, you know, keeping an eye on his own reputation. He's suggesting this because he's got an eye on the future. He's not wanting people to remember him and, hey, don't forget about me. He's not keeping an eye on his own reputation. He is keeping an eye on the future of God's people and the story of God's faithfulness for generations to come. He wants to ensure that every single person in the community, especially those who do not know and who have not heard, he wants them not only to hear these things, but here's the kicker. He wants them to continue to pass these instructions on to each new generation as long as they live. Gang, what Moses is asking them to leave to the next generation, to all who come after them, what Moses is asking them to leave is a legacy. And that fills in, I think, the blueprint for us, Midcurrent. That's what we need to be concerned with too. So we got to look back. We got to love God. We got to live differently. We're a holy and a distinct people, and we have to leave a legacy. This is what it comes down to in our life. Our goal should be to leave a faith-filled legacy for all who come after us. We have to live a spirit-filled, a God-honoring, and a Jesus-following inheritance. We have to make sure that everything we do in our life today would leave a God-sized wake wherever we go, right? Passing the faith down to the next generation, even passing the faith down to anyone who comes after us, or especially those who do not know and have not heard of God's love. This is the one thing, preserving it, passing it down, keeping an eye on the future. This is the one thing that God has continually asked his people to do. This is one of the main things that God has said, hey, this is what we have to be about. It's repeated over and over again, not only throughout the book of Deuteronomy. We've seen this repeated. Hey, set the stones up. Remember God's faithfulness. Pass this down to your kids. When they ask what happened, make sure you tell them. Not only do we see this from God throughout the book of Deuteronomy, but it's repeated all throughout Scripture. In fact, look at Psalm chapter 78. It says this, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. We're kind of reading about some of those very moments right now. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so that the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Mid-Current, as we consider the lives that we're living today, as we consider the blessings and the promises and the life that God has in store for us next, we have to remember that in all of it, God is asking us to leave a legacy. God is asking us to leave a spiritual inheritance for everyone who comes after us. And as a result, the one thing I want you to be incredibly clear about today, the one thing I want to remind you is this, that the faith that you pursue today is the faith that you will pass on tomorrow. Okay, this is what I'm saying. We can't wait to be thinking about these things. We can't wait to think about, hey, when all this is all said and done, what will I have left? If we wait to start thinking about that then, it's too late. We start thinking now, we remind ourselves, hey, the faith that I pursue today, right now, not tomorrow, not I'll get to it then, not let me get myself together, let the season of life get over, let me clean myself up, and then I'll start. No, the faith that we pursue today is the faith that we're going to pass on to the next generation tomorrow. And that's the kind of inheritance that God is asking us to leave. And it's the only kind of inheritance that I think will last. A spiritual legacy of loving God and obeying his commands, doing his will, and following his way for us day in and day out. Again, we have to understand that the life that each of us is living today, it is so much more than us. The life that we are living, it is about every single day. It is about so much more than just us. We have to understand that at the end of the day, we are just running one little leg of one giant heaven-bound relay race. Okay? The life we are living is so much more than what we can see here and now with our own eyes in front of us, right? We are running one leg of a giant relay race. And we have to understand, we are running for the whole team. Not just for us, not just about me today, not just about my life, not just about what I need, not just about what I like, not just about what feels good to me, right? We're running for the whole team, okay? We're running for those who have handed the baton to us, and we are running especially for those who we are going to hand the baton off to next. We are running our part of that race today. And so I want you to be reminded today that what you do today matters, right? What is most important to you today? Because we got to make choices. We got to make decisions every single day. Statistics show we make like a mind-blowing number of decisions every single day. And so we got to understand, as we're making these kinds of decisions, we have to remember that whatever it is most important to us, whatever it is that is most important to you today, will be what the next generation that comes behind you sees and believes to be the most important. And so if all they see is you chasing after money, they'll think that money and our ability to kind of provide for ourselves, well, that's the most important thing. If all that the next generation, those coming behind you, whether that's at home or in your small group or wherever it is, right, that the students that you're leading in MC Kids or an MC Youth, right, if the only thing that they see you chasing after is status, they'll think that reputation and name recognition is all that matters. If all the next generation sees you do is answer emails at the breakfast table, they'll think that a career is the most important thing. If all that they see that you do is argue and fight about all the things that everyone's arguing about right now, so that you know, if all they see you is you trying to make sure that you're right about everything that's happening in the world, then they'll think that the goal in life is ultimately to make a point rather than to make a difference. right? If they see you routinely make something else more important than your faith, than following Jesus, if they see you routinely making something more important than a Sunday morning worshiping God in church, they'll think that worshiping God is optional, right? They'll think, well, hey, it's a good way to spend your time, absolutely, so long as you have the time to do it. Gang, whatever it is that you celebrate in your life today, it will be what you perpetuate in your life tomorrow and in the life of everyone who is following after you. Whatever it is that you celebrate today, isn't this great? Look what we've done. Look at what we're doing. Whatever it is that you celebrate today, it will be what you perpetuate in your life tomorrow and in the life of all who come after you. And so the question you got to ask yourself is, what are you celebrating today? Right? What kind of inheritance does your current life and your current routine and your current priorities, what does it all suggest that you are preparing to leave to the world around you? What does it suggest about what you think is the most important thing? You got to ask yourself, what kind of wake are you leaving? And my encouragement to you today is to leave something that lasts. A couch won't last. A family cabin won't last. Ours is literally falling apart as we speak, right? A pile of cash, even a large one, ultimately it won't last, but your faith will. The faith that you pursue today, not perfectly, nobody's going to do that. The faith that you pursue today, not perfectly, but regularly, intentionally, genuinely, sacrificially, prayerfully, that will be the faith that you pass on tomorrow. And that's something, gang, that will last. That's something that will stand the test of time. I know I keep joking about family cabins and couches that my grandma is set to leave to me, or that my grandma is set to leave to her kids and her grandkids. And sure, we're having those conversations. What do we do with the table? What do we do with the couch? I joke about it, but here's the reality that I want to be absolutely clear about. That is not all she's going to leave. And it's not even close. It's not even close to being the most significant thing that she will leave here on this earth. She's going to leave a legacy. Already has. But we can be absolutely sure, I'm sure, that she's going to leave a legacy of faith and prayer and obedience for generations to come. And here's how I know that, because I'm walking proof of it. When I was a young kid, my grandparents and my grandpa was still around, but every Christmas they gave us Advent presents, right? It was one small little thing to unwrap every, you know, December morning as we, you know, made our way to Christmas morning. And each of those little things that we got to unwrap had a Bible verse typed out on my grandparents' like new computer and cut out and stuck in there with a little, you know, note for us, encouraging us. Even still today, fast forward all the way to the present time, every time I talk to my grandma today, she tells me that she prays for me and Erica and the kids every day. And she does. I believe it to be true. A year or so ago, actually, she was reminding me, she always tells me, she was reminding me of her daily prayers for me. And she was so excited to tell me that she had just read an article that talked about what pastors needed prayer for today. And so you could just see that she was so proud and so excited to inform me that, you know, because of what she had read, she was now praying for creativity. She said, I heard that pastors say they need creativity. She said, I'm praying, Stan, for you, for creativity and for innovation and for strength and for new courage and passion. That's what the article said. That's what pastors needed today. So I've been praying that stuff for you, for new creativity. She said, I've been praying for all that stuff for you. as you lead at church and as you try to bring life to what's happening at Midcurrent. Gang, I am incredibly aware of how big an idiot I can be sometimes. And so I become more and more and more aware of the fact that the only reason that I have done anything worth paying attention to in the slightest bit is because of a really good God and a holy inheritance of faith and prayer and in obedience and sacrifice that has been passed on to me from my parents and from my grandparents and from their parents as they pursued God as best as they could and as boldly as they could with the lives they had to leave. And so Midcurrent, the question I ask once more is, what kind of inheritance are you set to leave? I want to encourage you, wherever you are at on this journey of life, I want to encourage you to be thinking now. Don't wait someday. I want to encourage you to think about leaving, to live a life today that means you're going to leave something that lasts. And I want to be clear, you don't have to have kids. You don't have to, you know, currently be raising young kids in order to be asking this question. No matter who you are, all of our lives, no matter what we do, all of our lives, we're going to leave a wake. We're going to leave something to someone who's currently around us now, who's currently following in our footsteps, who's currently watching us and what we do and how we serve and love and how we pursue God. No matter who we are, our life will leave a wake. We're going to leave something to someone. And I'm praying that it's a Jesus-like wake that we leave wherever we go. I'm praying that we here at Midcurrent Church would leave a legacy of loving and serving God, a legacy of obedience and of sacrifice. I'm praying that we would leave a legacy of fighting every single battle of ours on our knees and giving thanks to God with our hands lifted high. That people would see us navigate the world with a posture like that, hearts open, hands open, on our knees, hands lifted high. Because seeing that in us, that's going to be the thing that lasts above all the other things that we might think are most important. The faith that we pursue today will be the faith that we pass on tomorrow. And before I close, I'm gonna pray for all of us here. I just want to make sure to mention one thing, and that's this: if you didn't have someone necessarily passing that baton to you, if you're going, hey, Sten, Grandma sounds amazing. I didn't have someone like that in my life. I didn't have someone praying prayers like that. Nobody's praying for creativity for me. If you didn't have someone passing that baton on to you, here's what I want to let you know. The good news is that you have the opportunity. You have the opportunity to blaze a new trail, to set a new direction, and you have the opportunity to be the architect of a brand new family legacy that will live on and impact this world and change this world and change the next generations for years and years to come. And so no matter who we are, no matter what baton we have been passed, we have the opportunity to pass on something greater, something that lasts for all who come behind us. And I'm praying that is the legacy that we would leave here as Jesus followers, members of this church, people going out in the community to love God and do His will. Let me pray for us. God, I'm just asking for your help as we try to discern what it is that's best, God. Like I said, we got choices to make every single day. And so, God, I'm asking that you would help us to be able to discover and to discern the difference between, you know, good choices and fine choices and ultimately the best choices, God. Help us to be living lives now, not waiting someday to get serious about the important things and the foundations and the pillars that we want to instill in our life and family and our community. God, I pray that you would help us today to be living our life in a way that leaves a wake that points to you in all things at all times. God, help us to be people who live in such a way that the legacy we leave would live long after we're gone. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church.
You are listening to the Midcurrent
Church
podcast.
For more information and to visit us online,
this
check
week
out
is the third week
in
God's Word.
And follow us again, on
Facebook,
a study
and
on the Book of Deuteronomy. Be sure to join us
for
on
more
Sunday
information
mornings,
and to visit
online,
us online
and in person.
Visit
at
us at midcurrentchurch.org
and find us on Facebook.
Midcurrent
and
is
Instagram.
Located at 200 First
and
Street
now,
in downtown Hudson,
Pastor
Wisconsin.
Stan Carlson with today's message.